at the time. Call to order the October 7th meeting of the Ocean County Planning Commission. Ms. Parker, do we have a quorum?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Please rise for the pledge allegiance and remain standing for the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gracious God, we thank you for the freedom to be here tonight to do the work of the people of this county. Lord, grant us wisdom and guidance to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, thank you for the folks in the military and first responders that have made it possible for us to be here today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We all had time to look at the minutes. Any questions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Who had the second one?
Either one of us.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. We now open the floor for a citizen comment period. This is for anything you wish to discuss not on tonight's agenda. If you have something you want to discuss, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing no one wishing to come forward, we'll close the citizen comment period. Ms. Parker?
We have no requests to defer additions, deletions, or changes to the order of the public hearings. Our first item tonight is a tentative plat review. We'll remind the commission this is an action item, and as such, it will not come before the board. MAJT 2021-00001, Rural Hill on the James tentative plat. Application filed by Youngblood Tyler and Associates PC, requesting approval of a tentative subdivision plat for a 170-lot subdivision. The tentative plat is required by Article 8, Section 2 of the Goochland County Subdivision Ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I'm Jamie Sherry, Director of Community Development. As Ms. Parker said, this first application before you is a request for the approval of a tentative plat for Rural Hill on the James subdivision located here in the courthouse for 170 lots, there's a difference. The property is generally bound by Scott Road, Rural Hill Lane, Cedar Point Road, and Gathright Drive. The property was rezoned back in August, as you recall. Their proposal was for 130 single-family detached lots. They will access River Road West through the Reed Marsh subdivision, which has the signalized light, and then along Scott Road. The applicant is proposing stub roads to connect to adjoining properties per VDOT. All the properties will have public water. 69 of them will be served by public sewer. This is the proffered conceptual plan that was before you this past summer. And what they are proposing, the tentative plat, appears to meet all the proffered conditions as well as all the subdivision requirements. This here is the actual tentative plat in front of you. As you can see, it's consistent with what was proposed with the rezoning application. Per the subdivision ordinance, any flag lot requires Planning Commission approval, review and approval. Lot 75, as you can see on the image on the screen, is a flag lot, appears to meet all the building setbacks and all the other development requirements. And if it is approved, the tentative plat is approved, it will be allowed to develop as presented. In your packet and in the staff report, there are 18 conditions associated with this approval that staff recommends. The 1 through 18, I'm going to spare reading to you directly. Most of them are just requirements that the subdivision process requires, most of them typically, as they pertain to utilities and setbacks and things along those lines. There are two that were added in addition to what we normally have. Condition number 19 says that all the building envelopes must be removed. Since the staff report went out, the building envelopes have been removed off the tentative plat. Our ordinance does not reference building envelopes. We suggested that they take it off. And then just so that for clarity, all the building setback lines must be shown on the cul-de-sac as well as the flag lots. That finishes my presentation very quickly. The applicant is here. If you have any questions for me or the applicant, we'd be happy to answer them.
Could you further kind of tell us what a flag lot is?
Certainly. The definition of a flag lot actually comes from the subdivision ordinance. It's essentially a 50-foot, it requires to be a 50-foot, access off of one of the residential, the local roads. Can't be more than 300 feet, and then it has to have, like, a buildable area in the background of it. Typically, they're done because there's some sort of geographic reason that they can't have just a regular lot with the proper frontage.
They're kind of shoehorning in something where there's more room in the back.
Correct. And what some of the concerns with flag lots are, like, if they're on smaller lots, you know, sometimes you build a house and then somebody builds a house right in front of you, that kind of thing. The buildable area and the setbacks seem to avoid that in this circumstance.
The people buying both lots would be aware of the, would be made aware that there was a flag lot behind them or a home in front of them.
It would depend on if they were able to see the plat itself, you know, whether the subdivision plat would show it, but it would really depend on if an independent surveyor would show them that.
The buyer's due diligence.
Correct. But it is on, it would be part of the public record. Mm-hmm.
Any other question?
This is not a public hearing item. This is just an action item.
That's correct. Still need a motion.
Need a motion? Have a motion?
A motion to approve.
A second. Okay.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it.
Our first public hearing item is in District 1, CU 2021-00008, application by Elizabeth Page Baber, requesting a conditional use permit to operate a retail store and retail greenhouse nursery on 16.5 acres at 6165 River Road West on tax map 251013A. The property is zoned agricultural general A1. The conditional use permit is required by County Zoning Ordinance Section 15102. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Members of the commission again, Jamie Sherry. The application before you tonight is for a conditional use permit to operate a retail store and retail greenhouse nursery on River Road West. The subject property is located in the western portion of the county, just south of River Road West. The property is zoned agricultural general, as is all the property in the surrounding area. The property is designated by the comprehensive plan as rural enhancement area, as are the surrounding properties. The property, as you can see here, is located just south of River Road. There is a rail line that runs behind the property. This is an active farm, so there are farming activities actually on the property. The reason why they would need a conditional use permit is they are going to be selling items other than that which is sold on their farm. So they are proposing a retail store in the existing building that you see in front of you on the screen. The size of the building is 425 square feet building, so it's a relatively contained small building. As I mentioned, the this application originally did come in as a retail greenhouse nursery in addition to the retail. The applicant has withdrawn that portion. It's still part of your application initially because that's how we advertised it. On the dais, there is a resolution that has the strike-through of the greenhouse reference in the resolution. If you do approve this, that's what you would be going on. So the retail sales for this for the store would essentially be locally grown items, items from the farm, other farmers, and artisan crafts. There is also a request by the applicant to have pumpkins and Christmas trees sold outdoors. So that would be allowed upon approval of this application as well. That would be done in the designated area from September 1 to January 1. They would be allowed to do that. There are hours of operations and day restrictions as well associated with this. 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. would be the hours, and that would be Thursday through Sunday. As I mentioned, retail sales will be limited to primarily locally grown items and craft items. The CUP is because it is not strictly an on-site farming operation, so that's why they have to have the a retail portion of this, and I mentioned the outdoor sales and the hours already. So there would be a retail store. They would be limited by the conditions, and I mentioned the trees already, but what's also is that this would be a five-year renewal, so this would be good until November 2026. A community meeting was held in August. Supervisor Lasquillette and Planning Commissioner Mr. Myers was in attendance along with six citizens. Concerns were raised regarding parking, activities proposed on the property, potential expansion, types of products to be sold, and hours of operation. If this request is approved, these are the recommended conditions. Number one, they would be allowed to have this retail operation. Number two, it would be located in the 425 square foot building. As I mentioned, the retail use number three. They would be allowed to actually expand another 75 square feet, and that way they could do a small expansion of that existing building and not have to come back to the commission. Number four, we talked about the seasonal items, pumpkins and Christmas trees being sold between September 1 and January 1. They would be required to get a plan of development before the store opens, and then when they add the outdoor sales, they would have to have that amended. The conceptual plan that was in your packet would have to generally conform to that. That has the location of the outdoor display items. Again, talks about the outdoor sales, hours of operation I've already mentioned, a five-year expiration would be number nine, and lastly, number 10 is our standard transfer or lease condition. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer your questions, and the applicant, Ms. Baber, is also here.
Did they ask to be limited to just pumpkins and trees?
Well, that was what she asked for.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that area, I assume that area will have to be lit like this time of year. Would they be required to turn the lights off when the activity is finished?
So what they would have to do is if they were going to do any kind of outdoor activity when the evening comes, they would be required through their plan of development to have a lighting plan as part of it. And at that point in time, we would make sure that at the very least, the lights were to the proper scale according to the ordinance, as well as them being dark sky compliant. But there's no hours of operation associated with the lighting. Typically, they would turn them off with their business, but that would be a question for the applicant.
Any other questions? Thank you. Is the applicant here and like to speak?
If you're speaking to the mic, maybe just state your name just for the record.
Okay. Paige Baber.
Do you, you want to be limited to just trees and pumpkins?
No, sir. We have a high tunnel greenhouse that we wanted to add flowers and pick your own, and but it is a shell of a greenhouse right now. And so down the road, we wanted to add that, and I'm not sure exactly when I'll be able to do that. So we wanted to put in the pumpkins and the Christmas trees that we'd probably start out bringing in from another local farmer until we can get those things established on our farm. But so because it was limited to the 5 years starting out, we just took that part kind of off for now for outside sales. And then if we did a special event for like Christmas or a holiday, I would come and ask for that because that would require more parking and those kinds of things.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
How much room do you have for parking?
I have, because it is the 425 square foot, I have two designated parking spots. I have one that is accessible. The building has a ramp, so those are designated. And then if we had other parking, other customers at the same time, I'm hoping they could park along the farm road.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We now open the floor for citizen comments. Public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Dearden. I'm at 3330 Cedar Plains Road in Sandy Hook. I really am in support of Ms. Baber's application. I run a nonprofit that has 4 farmers markets, and we do an online market. So professionally, I've offered to lend my time and expertise to help her and guide her. We've had several meetings that have been very helpful, and I really want to see this application be approved, particularly because in Western Goochland, it's one of the biggest food deserts in the whole state. There's just really no access to really healthy local food, and we really need something like this. So I would do anything to help her, and I really hope you approve it. Thank you.
Anyone else? We now close the citizen public hearing.
I move that we recommend this application for approval.
I second.
Any further discussion?
No.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Our next item is in District 1, RZ 2021-00009. Application by Retson Companies, Inc., requesting a rezoning of 3.51 acres from Agricultural General A1 and Business General B1 to Business General B1 with proffered conditions, located on the north side of River Road West, approximately 300 feet from the intersection of Haydensville Fife Road and River Road West. On tax map 263010, the comprehensive plan designates this area as commercial.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Members of the Commission, again, Jamie Sherry. As Ms. Parker said, this is a rezoning request from Retson Companies. They are rezoning, their request is to rezone approximately 3.5 acre lot in George's Tavern. As you can see here on the screen, it is located in the farther west, and as I mentioned, it is in the heart of George's Tavern Crossroads. This is the zoning map. As you can see, portion of the property is zoned A1, Agricultural General, and a portion is zoned B1, Business General. The properties that are identified in the red there are also part of the George's Tavern zoning. Actually, this is a better map of showing what is in George's Tavern, identified by the comprehensive plan, and this is designated as commercial. This is the property, as you can see, it is it's undeveloped. It is located right at the intersection, a portion of it running along Haydensville Fife Road and a portion of it on River Road West. This is the transmission, or maybe former transmission shop. The property owner who owns the property, the subject property tonight, also owns this property, and the area surrounding it is also convenience store related and auto related. As I mentioned, they are requesting to rezone this property general business with proffers. What they have proffered are two alternative conceptual plans. They have limited the use to retail store, office professional, and office medical. For the entire property, they are limiting the hours of operation from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. They have elevated. They have proffered elevations for the building as well as the dumpster enclosure. So, as I mentioned, two conceptual plans were submitted. This is mainly to address some of the access management concerns along River Road West. There are speed concerns on River Road West, and there's concerns pertaining to the safety of access to and from the development, as well as traffic concerns within the development. So the applicant has given us two different conceptual plans, mostly just flipping the, you'll see it's flipping the footprint of the building to try to address the access management plans, concerns. So this is Exhibit A. This is what we were originally presented with by the applicant. On the front portion, the part that has the more detailed conceptual part of the plan, this is for a larger retail store. They do have a proposed user, Dollar General. The store would be 10,640 square feet, which is one of their larger store footprints. And I'll get into this more, but the access to this site, as you can see, there's one entrance, and it also links the transmission location, the transition shop location, so that creates just one entrance to the property. This would be eliminated. The rear use, as you can see, there is a separate parcel back, future parcel back here that's approximately 1.3 acres that has a building location on it that's just conceptual. There is no user for that, so we don't know exactly what the proposed use is going to be. Because of the proffers, it would be limited to either retail or one of those two types of offices. The concept plan also shows a 30-foot buffer that runs along the western and northern part of the conceptual plan. That is the required 30 feet that the zoning ordinance would require them to do. So one of the reasons, as I mentioned, that they have given us the two alternatives is mostly because of the concerns of access to the property. As I mentioned, this we're going to be talking about that same plan that you just looked at, but this is all going to be talking about the access concerns. As I mentioned before, there is one access off of River Road West. This one would be eliminated. That is something that staff would support. However, this still does not meet the access requirements. Either our requirements or VDOT's requirements. There is concern, this is kind of a high traffic area, high speed area, so there is concerns how people entering the site would be coming down here, and whether it be tapers or turn lanes at that speed, that is a concern. And as I mentioned earlier, there's internal concerns with how trucks would get in and how they would turn around, as well as fire and rescue accessing the building. And so this is Exhibit A, alternative, which was also in your packet. As I mentioned, this is essentially a very similar a similar concept plan that was presented to you in Exhibit A, but it is flipped. Has many of the same internal concerns, but I did want to point out one of the concerns with this particular conceptual plan. It keeps this one entrance open to the transmission shop and then creates a second entrance over here. Neither one of these meet the minimum standards for access. That's not to say that those minimum standards could be reduced if it does provide for a safe access to the property. So if this were to be pursued, this entrance over here, there is some concern. Typically, the way our ordinance reads is that if you can't meet access and there's an opportunity to do a crossover entrance, Route 45 right here, Cartersville Road, would lend that as an opportunity. This also puts into jeopardy a portion of the buffer that is required. So that's a little bit concerning too. Not that that can't be overcome with some internal reworking, but that is also a concern. I mentioned the internal trucks and fire rescue concerns. The applicant has proffered elevations, as I mentioned, elevations for the building, as well as elevations to show the materials for the screening of the dumpster. So the application, the actual elevations that you see up on the screen, we have asked the applicant to give us a new rendering that shows something that is consistent with what the actual proffer says. The proffer does offer specific materials and location of the materials. For example, it's kind of hard to read, but on the elevations that were presented, it gives very specific left, right, which side would look like what. And plus there's the building material that is on this conceptual doesn't match the proffer, which is just a little bit concerning when it comes to enforcement. I think the way it stands, it probably would be enforceable, but that's something that could be cleaned up. And then I mentioned the dumpster elevation as well. So again, I'm going to go over real quickly some of the remaining concerns. Both conceptual plans still don't meet safe access requirements. Alternative A shows two entrances instead of the one combined entrance, and that could be achieved even if the access was moved farther down, particularly since the property owner is the same property owner as the transmission shop. That we were thinking that could somehow be coordinated to have one entrance that entered into both locations. Safety concerns, as this development, because of the speed, as far as folks getting on in and out of the site, as well as concerns with just matching up the elevations. A community meeting was held in August. Supervisor Lasquillette and two residents and three business owners were in attendance. There were traffic concerns, site distance, traffic congestion, again, the speed limit, site access, and turn lanes. Site issues, including like water runoff and how it would be developed. There were concerns, questions from some of the neighbors as to the store layout and what type of items would be sold. The applicant has offered the three proffers. Number one is the two alternative conceptual plans. The way it's worded is that based on access management, one of the two of them would be proffered based on whichever one is more appropriate for access management. Architecturals, that was Exhibit B, and Exhibit B showed both the rendering of the building as well as the dumpster. Hours of operation, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. for both parts of the property, and the restrictions of use being retail, office, professional, or office medical. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer questions, and the applicant is here as well.
Sherry.
Yes, sir.
Is there enough land on River Road from where Haytonsville Faith Road starts for a turning lane?
That is not something that we have really done the measurements for. So, I mean, so that would be a question if the applicant, and we're not requiring them because that is not something that was required through a traffic study, but that would be something that could mitigate some of the concerns.
The flared entrance to the driveway is similar to the Dollar General right there at the intersection of 522 and 250. Mm-hmm. There's a Dollar General there, and they don't have a turning lane either.
Okay.
But they do have a quite a wide, and it doesn't seem to cause any problems for
okay.
that one.
Okay.
And I think the speed limit is still 55. They don't
55
even slow
there.
It down like that.
Yeah, and I had mentioned the speed before, and yes, a lot of our roads here in the county are 55 miles an hour. This particular area is an area that has been studied by VDOT at the request of the county. We had tried to see if this was an appropriate place to lower the speed limit, and that is still something that I know that, members of the community are still supportive of. And so a speed study was done back in 2019, and it did indicate that there were speed issues, like people went over the speed limit. There was some signage put out, but there is a documented speed issue.
I want to forgot to mention that other Dollar General is actually in Louisa, not
yes.
Michelin.
Yes.
Pertaining to what Mr. Meyer said, the Dollar General Mineral does have left and right turn lanes, it appears, going into their facility, but many of them seem to just have a taper, in Cumberland mm-hmm. and other localities. But Cumberland is 35 miles an hour through the courthouse.
Yeah.
There is a commitment from Dollar General to do this if rezoned?
To do what, sir?
To put a building there if rezoned.
Yeah, they are, proposal is for a building that meets the requirements of the conceptual plan. So I know that they do have, Dollar General is actually the applicant. They're doing this rezoning on behalf of the property owner.
Okay.
How do they plan on getting a tractor trailer in there and
yeah.
unload? Yeah. We have to back out onto?
That is a question that may be better for the applicant because that is one of the staff concerns. As presented, it could be overcome.
The applicant's here in that, it,
yes.
in that presentation? Okay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. I'm Kerry Hutcherson here for the applicant. I also have these gentlemen with me. Alan Cagle is from Retz & Companies, who's the applicant. And we also have Seth Epperson from Summit Site and our design and engineering firm. And they can answer a number of the questions that we were just talking about, or y'all were just talking about. First, I just want to give you a brief presentation, and then we'll be happy to get into questions and answers. First of all, I want to introduce the applicant for a second and explain the relationship between Retz & Companies, who is the applicant, and my client, and Dollar General. Retz & Companies is a preferred developer for Dollar General in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. So it's not quite accurate what Ms. Sherry said, but she was close. So to think about it this way, my client is Retz & Companies, the developer. Retz & Company's client is Dollar General. So Retz & Company's works for Dollar General. Dollar General tells them, hey, we want a new store in Western Goochland. We've identified a couple of locations we think would be great based off of what our market research shows, and this was one of those sites. Of course, our folks take a look at what the comp plan says, and they say, oh, this is, the comp plan recommends commercial in this area. This is an area where Dollar General wants a store anyway. This would be a good fit, and that's basically how the relationship works. So I want to also just back up for a second and say, Big picture, we're really excited about an opportunity to be able to bring something like this to Western Goochland. We know, in fact, someone just a minute ago mentioned the food desert issue. Western Goochland is really in need of this type of retail store where there is some grocery opportunity as well as a variety of everyday items that people need, and it's affordable. And it's something that is very much locally and neighborhood-centric in terms of their operating model. That's why there are so many stores within pretty close proximity to each other, because the idea is Dollar General doesn't want people to have to drive long distances to get to them. They want it to be something that, particularly in rural areas, it's not something that folks who are on limited budgets and don't want to spend a lot of money on gas and maybe are elderly and don't want to get in the car for a long time can really be benefited by. So that's a little bit about the Dollar General model and how it fits into a rural area such as Western Goochland. Also, something I always say at these presentations, just because it's incredibly important, is that particularly in rural areas where there may not be a real strong commercial tax base, these stores provide an opportunity for increasing that commercial tax base. Each one of these stores is an investment of over $1 million in construction and development costs and materials into the site. We also, Retson is not only a developer, but they act as general contractor on all of their sites. And they prefer to hire local contractors wherever possible. Number one, to try to keep the investment of dollars into the local economy. And two, a lot of times it's just easier to be able to deal with people who know the lay of the land, and they know the local officials and so forth. So a little bit about just the benefits that come from these stores to the county. Go into the comprehensive plan more in detail. I mentioned earlier, the comp plan, as Ms. Sherry pointed out, clearly has demonstrated this intersection for commercial use is something that's recommended by the county. And being that this parcel is already zoned B1 on a portion of it, it's just the natural order of things to go ahead and rezone the rest of it for commercial use. We are hoping that through working through the plan of development process, we'll be able to address the concerns about access management. But I'm going to get into that in more detail in just a second. I wanted to just touch on a couple of things I noticed that weren't quite right about the staff presentation. There was mention about the architectural elevations that we proffered. And there was some comment about how the elevations we proffered, the building materials were not accurately described on there. Number one, I'm certain that we did send some elevations after we were asked that updated those materials. But nevertheless, our proffered condition, and I'm just checking to see which number it is, it's number two. Has a statement that says that the concern that the case manager Ray Cash had was that if we ended up flipping the orientation of the store, depending on which concept plan we went with, that would change the orientation of which side of the building was facing a public area, such as public road or parking area. And we had proffered cementitious siding and some brick on the sides that faced rather than metal. We'd proffered the cementitious siding and the brick on the sides that faced the public road and public parking areas. So of course, if we end up going with a concept plan, one of the two alternatives that we've proffered that would flip the building one way or the other, it'd be important to make sure that whichever way the building's oriented, that as long as it's oriented towards the road, it's got to have brick and cementitious siding. And that's what this second sentence of proffer condition says. So I think we've already addressed that in the proffer, regardless of what the architectural elevations say. And actually, the sentence says, notwithstanding any specifications shown in Exhibit B, that these are the materials that are required. I think that's pretty clear. Then there was another thing that I wanted to say, and it's escaping my mind right now. Maybe one of your questions will bring it up. I do want to talk about access management real quickly, and then I'll just open the floor to questions, and I guess we need some public comment too. As far as the access management goes, my client's been quite proactive about this, actually. On every single site that we're looking to develop for Dollar General, one of the first things we do is get the engineering firm to check with VDOT and ask about whether, if we think there's going to need to be exceptions requested for access management. We send them a proposed concept plan and say, would an access management exception be approvable for this entrance as we're proposing it? And we get responses back. And when we get responses back from VDOT, the typical response that starts off as, this would be approvable, but you need to still send it through our exception process, is the type of response that 99% of the time ends in an approved exception. That was actually the response we got from Robert Butler at VDOT when we asked him. We got the email from him. Seth, the engineer here, brought that email to the pre-app meeting for this case back in April and shared it with the staff. And at that time, we were not told that staff wanted us to go through and actually go through the entire process with VDOT and get that exception. It was, for all we understood at the time, understood that that would be dealt with through the POD process in the county, as well as any other exceptions that we need to get from the county ordinance. And that's typically how things are done. These types of site design details are dealt with at the POD level. I probably don't need to tell you all that. So I'm a little surprised that the staff is taking issue with this and asking that this be resolved at zoning level. Zoning is really just to address the use of the property and whether, and you know, your job is looking at the comp plan and seeing whether it's consistent with the comp plan, the proposed use. If we were to have to figure out every single site design issue with zoning, there'd be no need for the POD process. The case that was right before us, there was a question about lighting, and the answer you got was that'll be decided at the POD process. So all of these things are taken care of through that process, and there's no reason to think that won't happen here. If we can't meet the requirements to get the exceptions we need through that POD process, we just won't be able to build the store, regardless of whether you approve these or recommend approval of the zoning. So I just want to make sure that's clear. And with that, I'd ask for your recommendation for approval. We'd be happy to answer questions. I know we've probably got a few more questions.
Have any questions?
I mean, outside of zoning, do you feel that Dollar General does help with food deserts?
Yeah, Dollar General is pretty responsive to whatever market demands exist in their locations. So it's been interesting to see in different areas, different stores carrying different products just based off of what people are showing that they need. So in areas where there's not a lot of groceries, they pay attention to that more. And in fact, I think Alan could probably tell you a few more things about that. He can give you more of the details on how they deal with that particular issue.
Yeah, I'm Alan Cagle, I'm project manager for Reds and Companies. Actually, in their central warehouse distribution and out in Nashville, they have a mock-up of a store that they lay out, and that's how they all their fixture design and all that. But basically, they do an audit of all their sales pretty much continuously for every site. I've got a store that I built, I can't remember where, it's got 2 aisles of dog food. So it's basically they respond to what the community needs. I mean, if you're selling a lot of dog food, they're selling a lot of groceries, they're selling a lot of, you know, automotive stuff, that's what they stock in these stores. Plus, this store here, this is almost identical in size to the one, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the one in Bumpus that was we built a couple years, maybe a year and a half ago. That's the only one of these, this size store we've done. And it's about 1,500 square feet larger than, say, the one in Louisa or, the ones you have around here. And that is to accommodate groceries. Now, whether that's a rollout initially with the when it opens, but that's their plan, is that if their supply lines allow, they're going to a more of a fresh produce, fresh meat, fresh food kind of model, not just, and now, even now, with the old prototype was a large amount of, you know, frozen foods, you know, similar to what a grocery store would have. So they're evolving and they're getting a little bit bigger. I think they're feeling that need. They're having a little bit more pushback from the customers of what they need being in these locations like this, where you may have to go 20 minutes to a grocery store, you know, they're in the business to make money, so they're looking to sell what, you know, to stock what's going to sell. So if there's a need for food here, this store will be a good portion of it will be dedicated to grocery.
Thank you.
Did they answer the question about the road and the tracks, the trailers and fire?
We did not. Process? And I'd love to have Seth come up and talk to you. I know they have done the turn studies, you know, turning movement studies.
Excellent. So if I can speak to that, before this store gets approved by Dollar General, that is literally the first thing we look at when we lay out a site, is that's one of the things that goes to Dollar General is, will a truck fit here? Will a truck turn around here? And if it doesn't, it dies. That's one of the first things they have. We have to work, and that's the thing probably we work the hardest on at the beginning, is to make a truck turn around in there. But when we use Seth can speak more to the specifics of what they do, like the size tracker and everything, but yeah, truck will turn around.
Yeah, as mentioned, my name is Seth Epperson with Summit Engineering. As Alan mentioned, before we start any site, we lay out the site, the entrance, and we run truck movements with it's called a WB67 Interstate tractor trailer truck, which is your pretty much largest truck on the road. So Dollar General requires that truck to be able to get in and get out, and the way they do that is not shown here. I actually have a whole exhibit on it that it's just not in the application. They go and turn right into that first drive aisle at the entrance, and then they back up. And they do that, we just show that we can get through it. So there's no real concerns when you have fire trucks. The fire truck is much smaller and has a better turning radius than the interstate truck. And then you mentioned tapers also. So as shown, there are tapers. That helps with the truck a lot. It also helps with cars getting off the road. It acts to allow some cars to get off the road prior to making the full turn. There's no 90-degree turn. And then I think another staff concern was the fire access. You're required by the state and the Goochland Code to have 150-foot hose reach. So essentially that is met. This is a larger store than the ones we used to do, but it's still met with this one. So the fire truck has hose reach at all areas in the parking lot to get 150-foot around the store. And mentioned the access issues, the taper and stuff, that's something that's kind of worked out in the POD process with VDOT. VDOT will sometimes require more of a taper. And for the AME exception, sometimes they'll look into the left turn lane. Some of the AME exception process involves a traffic study, which you have to show that the right turning movements will not affect the traffic on the road. So that would be something that Robert would be looking at as part of his full POD review.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what's before you and how we do our plan of development process and how we deal with conceptual plans at the zoning level. Mr. Hutchison was actually the representative for Yellowstone, and you all saw the level of detail that application came in with their conceptual plan, and that is literally what we looked at when it came time for the subdivision plat. So that we take safety and the conceptual plans. Sure, there's possible deviation here and there, but that is something in the county that we do take very seriously. And as part of the rezoning process, that is something that I think the standard that you all usually adhere to. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Well, on the entrance and mm-hmm. the safety of that, VDOT will have the final say on that, will they not?
So a traffic study wasn't done. So yeah, as I said, they are part of the POD review. As you know from other cases as well, VDOT has certain standards upon which they require certain things. And so that would be something that if they were required to do something, but if safety played into it, that was just kind of a question that we had.
Okay.
And Ms. Hunter, I wanted me to also point this out. You see the entrance that's on the far west side. That, I think, shows right around 400 and some plus feet from the intersection. Our standards are 660 under these circumstances. So it is, yes, so it is less, considerably less. That's not to say that that could not be overcome, which is why those additional concerns about perhaps the tape may or may not be appropriate, perhaps there might be something more needed. And that's just a concern that I think that it, as moving forward, he said, again, that is some things that could be taken care of at the plan of development level if they're minor. This seems a little bit more concerning.
If I may address that, as Carrie said.
Hang on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We need to have a public hearing on this.
Oh, sorry.
I'd like to open the floor for a public hearing on this. Anyone wishing to come forward, please come forward, state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes. No one wishing to come forward, we'll close the public hearing. Oh, you are coming? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Charles Purvis. I live at 2356 Haydenville Fife Road. Part of my property borders the property being proposed for rezoning. I don't necessarily oppose rezoning. I do oppose the proposed use at this time for a portion of that property. I do question the need for a Dollar General at that location. We already have two convenience stores there that sell food, alcohol, cigarettes. We have a auto parts store across, so this would be a corporation company competing with three local businesses, locally owned businesses there. The question of a food desert has been raised. Technically, that site is within 10 miles of the food line on Sandy Hook Road, or Fairgrounds Road, excuse me. So it does not meet the technical definition of a food desert in a rural community. And by definition, half of the people who would be served by that are even closer than the 9 miles that it is to that food line. We've already exhaustively talked about the dangerous intersection there. This is a large store. A lot of cars will be going in and out of there, making that a much more dangerous intersection than it already is. I've seen examples of other Dollar Generals around rural areas from my hometown as well as counties around here. Their parking lots become gathering places. Concerns me with crime and other types of things going on in those parking lots. So I think that should be considered at this time. And in reality, people just don't live in or move to Western Goochland to be near a corporate discount retail store development, right? That's for the eastern part of the county. That ship's already sailed. But for the western part of the county, that's not why I moved there, and I don't think that's why people live there and have lived there for years. So just my opinion. I do oppose the proposed use at this time. If you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to take them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come forward? We ask that you state your name and address.
Yes. My name is Arvind Patel, and address is 5260 River Road West. I own the Citgo gas station right next to that. And I believe like the dollar store is like only 10 minutes from every direction. I mean, if that opens up, it's definitely gonna be hurt a small business like us. And I believe it's not enough population and enough people to support like all businesses. So it's definitely gonna be, we're trying to survive, and then if this comes, it's going to be hurting us more.
Thank you. Anyone else? We close the public hearing. Gentlemen. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have some concerns when we get projects in here like this and we're not really sure what we're voting on. They got two plans, and our clients are the citizens of the county. And when they ask us, well, where's the entrances and exits going to be? Where's the turn lanes? What's it going to look like? we can't really answer that. When I look at the plan up here, it looks like to me all four sides are visible either from the parking lot or a surrounding road, as far as the finishes and the siding and so forth. And the parking and the access in and out, you know, if they don't know which one's going to work, I think they either got the wrong site or they need to go back and really think about it and see how it would, they could actually get this thing to work. And so I would propose that if it's agreeable with the applicant, that maybe we postpone this for 2 months or so and give them a chance to, you know, get their ducks in a row. So when somebody asks us what's going to go there and what's it going to look like, we know what to tell. That's just my feeling. I just don't think it's ready for prime time yet.
I agree with Tom with respect to the, you know, looking at what's on the screen, everyone's screen now, we're looking at 460 feet and the county wants 660. So the other application, or the, you know, the other rendering, and to agree with the applicant, there are things that are to be settled in the plan and development phase, but if we're not even there, what's being proposed to us, even at a high level, is not fitting in the county's requirements. I don't see how that works.
You know, it was never brought up. This plat also fronts Haydensville Fife Road, and no one ever mentioned why the main entrance wasn't from Haydensville Fife.
Answer that if you like.
I mean,
That land's not for sale. We don't have.
We've had all the discussion.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the parcel.
We close it.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what we're actually approving. It's kind of like, okay, we approve it, but we don't know what we're doing. Whether it's VDOT, whether speed, which you know, development it is.
We have a motion to defer then.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah. Is that what we're saying? We're moving to defer.
Okay.
Is that
okay? I move that we defer it for
2 months.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We defer it for 2 months.
Would that be the December 2nd meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have a motion and a second.
Yeah. Can I just note my objection to any deferral? Thank you.
That's fine.
All in favor of deferment till December?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Aye. Have it. Ms. Parker?
Our next item is in District 1, CU 2021-00009, application by Jeffrey and Rachel Hall, requesting a conditional use permit for a detached accessory family housing unit on 20.34 acres at 2272 Youngstown Road on tax map 2715060. The property is zoned agricultural general A1. The conditional use permit is required by County Zoning Ordinance Section 15102 in accordance with Section 15285A. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Members of the Commission, Jamie Sherry. As Ms. Parker said, this is a request for an accessory housing, family housing unit in the western portion of the county, just south of River Road West on Youngstown Road. The property is zoned agricultural general, as is all the surrounding properties. The comprehensive plan recommends rural enhancement area, as it does all the surrounding properties. As you can see in the 2017 aerial, it was at that point undeveloped. The applicant has built a home that was completed in 2019 on the property. Here is the site plan that has been submitted with this application. The existing house is marked right here where I have my pointer, and the accessory family housing unit is located in close proximity. The proposed building would be approximately 80 feet from the side property line, and it would access the property through the same driveway as the home. There was a community meeting held back in August. Two citizens were present, and they spoke in support of this request. If you choose to recommend approve this as proposed, these are the following conditions. Number one, the use would be for a detached family housing unit. Number two, it would need to be consistent with the location shown on the Exhibit A, the site plan. They would only be allowed to rent to have residents who are part of their family living in the housing unit, and this would not be allowed to be rented, would be number four. Number five, smoke detector and carbon monoxide detectors would need to be working and maintained on the property. Access would need to be provided so that fire rescue and emergency vehicles would have access to the unit. This is a five-year expiration on this conditional use permit. And lastly, the standard transfer of ownership condition. I would be happy to answer any questions. I believe the applicant is here.
Questions?
No questions.
Would the applicant like to come forward and give a presentation? Do you have any questions for the applicant? Now open the floor for the public hearing portion of our case.
Hello once again, Lisa Dearden at 3330 Cedar Plains Road. I've known Mr. Hall for about 5 years and his wife Rachel for over 15 years. They're outstanding county citizens. This is for the mom and the mom-in-law. They have two little children and they just don't have room for mom-in-law in the house with the little kids, if you know what I mean. So it'd be a great thing for them to be able to have. There's no place for them to stay in Western Goochland, we all know that. So, and it's in the middle of the woods and nobody can see anything. And they're not planning on renting it out to anybody. I would vote in favor if you could. Thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come forward and speak? We close the public hearing portion. Gentlemen?
Motion to approve?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Our next item tonight is in District 4, CU 2021-00010, application by Strickland MFG LLC, requesting a conditional use permit for metal products assembly, cutting and fabrication, and for outside storage on 4.03 acres at 1090 Merchants Lane on tax map 455010. The property is zoned Industrial Limited M1. The conditional use permit is required by County Zoning Ordinance Section 15262. The comprehensive plan designates this area as industrial.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Members of the Commission, Tom Coleman, Principal Planner. As Ms. Parker indicated, this is a conditional use permit for two uses. It's for metal products assembly, cutting and fabrication, and for outdoor storage. This is located in the Oilville Village. Look at the subject property. It is zoned industrially, and there are other industrially zoned properties to the south and to the east, south, and west. And there's some agricultural zoning to the north, butting it to the north. And looking at the comprehensive plan recommendation, the subject property and most of the surrounding properties are also recommended for an industrial use. Looking at the aerial photo, just looking at the site, and I'll direct your attention. The existing site is undeveloped. It's primarily a stand of mature trees. Looking at the aerial photo, Strickland Manufacturing operates within the industrial park, you can sort of see the type of outdoor storage that they have, and they've indicated their initial use of this property would be to expand their business and to continue that type of outdoor storage onto this property.
I said this is a 4-acre property located within Gutin Industrial Park. The industrial park was zoned M1 in 1981. It includes 6 lots that range in size from about 4 to 6.5 acres. The applicant did obtain approval for a comparable CUP in 2013 that it indicated at the location it indicated on the aerial photo, and that was for similarly essentially the same uses, and that was to establish an operator facility to manufacture attachments for excavators and similar type of construction equipment and provide outside storage. With this proposal, they are requesting those two uses. The applicant did indicate that the initial use would be limited to outsource storage for the excavator attachments, and it would support their existing operations on Merchants Lane. Long-term plans would be to construct an approximately 10,000 square foot building or a little more, which is shown in the conceptual plan. With the rezoning in 1981, there are several proffers that were approved that would apply to this site and would regulate the development of the site. And that's the requirement for, one of those would be, a key one would be the requirement for a 60-foot buffer. That's two parts that would require a 50-foot natural wooded strip to be left intact. And additionally, it requires a 10-foot strip to be planted with evergreens. And that would, it's for the perimeter of the industrial park, so that would impact the northern and western property boundaries, and those show up on the site plan. It also limits building heights to 35 feet, and it requires all utilities to be installed in the ground. And looking at the conceptual plan that they provided, I provided just some color highlights. Sort of the yellow area would reflect the outdoor storage area. That would be substantially, if not totally cleared, gravel. In blue, would be the proposed building that they would like to build in the future, but they did show an exceptional plan. And sort of going around the perimeter of the site, you do see the buffer that is shown. I mentioned earlier that's a 60-foot buffer. It includes a 50-foot sort of tree save area and a 10-foot area that would be planted with pines. There was a community meeting held in August. No citizens attended that meeting. The conditions that staff has recommended to the commission, the first condition would allow the medical products assembly and the outdoor storage uses on the site. The second would require the plan of development. The third one would require them to adhere to that conceptual plan that I showed you earlier. The fourth one would prohibit any of the outdoor storage from taking place in the parking that they showed in the conceptual plan. The fifth one would require a lighting plan if they have any outdoor lighting. The sixth one would require the screening, which is regulated by the buffer. The expiration date is proposed for November 2026. The last condition would be our standard condition addressing the potential transfer or lease of the property. And that completes my presentation.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you. See, applicant here wish to come forward and make the presentation? You want to have a presentation or you're good? Okay. Thank you. We now open the public hearing section of this case. Anyone wishing to speak for or against, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one, we can close the public. Citizen, public hearing section. Gentlemen.
I move that we recommend it for approval.
I'll second that.
Been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have
it. You will notice on the dais for the next item, which is in District 4, RZ 2021-00007, we did receive revised proffers. So we will need you all, if you decide to waive the deadline of the submittal of the revised proffers, with a motion and a vote. Application by John R. Caskey requesting a rezoning of 13.35 acres from Agricultural Limited A2 to Industrial General M2 with proffered conditions located on the north side of Pothole Road, approximately 325 feet from the intersection of Val Park Drive and Pothole Road on tax map 4510113B. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Thank you, Ms. Barker. Again, Tom Coleman, Principal Planner. As you mentioned, this is a rezoning application to rezone 13 acres from an agricultural zoning to an industrial zoning. Again, this is located in Oilville in close proximity to the case you saw earlier. The subject property is zoned agriculturally, and there are other agriculturally zoned properties to the north, to the east, and to the south. And the properties to the west have an industrial zoning. The subject property is recommended for rural enhancement in the comprehensive plan. The properties to the north and to the east share that designations. Properties to the west and to the south are recommended for industrial use. Looking at the aerial photo, you can sort of see that there's a variety of different uses in this area, including industrial uses, which are primarily to the west, and residential uses, which are to the north and the south and to the east. And I'll come back to this aerial photo and to discuss this a little bit more in a future slide. A little bit of background on this application. The applicant has a site development firm, J.R. Kask Incorporated, that is headquartered and operates a construction equipment storage yard on an adjacent parcel on Val Park Drive. Their existing operation includes a one-story, about 8,000 square foot office warehouse use and a gravel area, paved area for equipment storage. And that site does have access to Val Park Drive. The applicant is utilizing the subject property for equipment storage. However, there is no enforcement action pending at this time, but approval of the zoning application is required for the continued use of the subject property for the construction equipment storage. Now, what they are proposing to do, they are proposing to expand their operations onto the subject parcel. The initial use of the property would be limited to outdoor storage of the construction equipment and supplies. And again, they did show a building on the acceptable plan that may be constructed in the future to provide for some weather-protected storage. The applicant proposes to clear much of the site to accommodate the outdoor storage, but has committed to retaining a 40-foot buffer around the perimeter of the property, especially along the north, south, and east boundaries. Access to the site would be provided through their existing operations on Val Park Drive, so they would not be creating any new accesses here, and their existing operations would continue. Looking at a conceptual plan that was provided by the applicant, it is an exhibit only. It was not proffered, but I do think it does a fairly good job of showing what's happening on the ground and what they're proposing to do. Directing to your attention to the screen, sort of see their existing operation here and their access on Deval Park Drive, which is also reflected on the conceptual plan. This Virginia Power easement, which runs through the property, is a predominant feature. It's about 100 feet wide, and it really does impact any site design. It would impact any access to Pothole Road, and they're not showing any access to Pothole Road. Also shown on here is the storage area, and this is where it indicated earlier some storage is already taking place, but you can see that their access from this proposed storage area would go through their existing site, the Val Park Drive. And then there's also, they've shown on the acceptable plan, a 40-foot buffer around the perimeter of their site. Just a little additional information, just showing the closest dwellings. I mentioned earlier their residential uses in close proximity. I've highlighted one of those in blue, the closest house. The applicant, they actually own that property. That's the reason I showed it in blue, so that's about 120 feet away, but they do own that one. The other houses are arranged, the closest houses are about 160, 190 feet away. But there are a number of residential uses that are in close proximity to this parcel. Staff does have some concerns with the application, and just in summary, you know, the proposed use is not consistent with the comprehensive plan designation for the rural enhancement area. While they did provide a conceptual plan, they did not proffer it. It was just provided for information only. There is some concern about the buffers. They did commit to providing a 40-foot buffer, and looking at the site, it's clearly a lot of mature trees on the site. But I think staff's concern is as the clearing occurs and they were to get within 40 feet, you know, any particular location, we don't know what would be within that 40-foot buffer. It could be a mature train street, a mature dense area, or it could be clear. You know, we don't know, and we, you know, I think the application could be improved if there was some commitment to ensuring, especially in consideration to those adjacent residential properties, of ensuring that there's a really a dense, you know, buffer within that 40 feet around the perimeter. And then just, you know, they're not proposing access to Pothole Road, but it would be good to limit that or restrict that, because Pothole Road is sort of a private road, and it's in poor condition. The applicant did submit some proffers, and as Ms. Parker indicated, they did submit some that were submitted after the deadline, so the committee would need to waive the time limit on those. These proffers did submit, they did address some concerns the staff had, so that definitely moved the case in a little better direction. But just the first one is the proffer that would require that 40-foot natural buffer, and you know, except for really their existing access and where the Dominion Power easement is. They do have a clause on there that if the property was sold, they could either have a dense buffer or the three rows of evergreens around Pothole Road. Sort of, you know, that's fine. They did add that all trees would be preserved in the natural buffer except for dead or diseased trees, and any would be replaced. That's a positive addition to the case. The second would require all wells to be drilled, and then with the third proffer, they did restrict some uses on the property. That concludes my presentation. Be happy to try to answer any questions.
I noticed that these buffers are different than the buffers in the previous case. Where they had a 60-foot buffer, and with 50 feet natural and 10 feet of evergreens planted.
That was on two sides, yeah. On that one.
With the previous application, when that case was rezoned in 1981, there were they proffered that with that case, and so with the use permit coming in 40 years later, mm-hmm. You know, they're adhering to those proffers. I think with this case right here, it's 2021. They're establishing that zoning case. They're not committing to a 60-foot buffer. They're committing to a 40-foot buffer.
And no extra planning.
Correct.
No additional.
Mr. Coleman, is this property or not located in the industrial park?
This property?
Yeah.
It abuts the industrial park.
Okay.
But it's not within the industrial
park. Okay, because I was questioning why it would still have the A1 zoning. I mean, or the A2 zoning. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you. Is the applicant here and have a presentation?
Ginger Caskey, with J.R. Caskey, the applicant. Is there any way that you can just pull up that aerial view?
Would you please state your name and address again?
Ginger Caskey, 3910 River Road West, Goochland.
Do you want your conceptual plan, or do you want the clean one?
That's good right there. I will just make a note that this whole rezoning plan came to fruition due to a complaint someone made that we were storing those products on our site, which are not visible to the road. So that's what started the rezoning. We have no real intention or burning desire to build. That front that you see there, the forward part, this side of the Dominion easement, you know, we have no plan to build. We have no plan to clear that property. So we're saying we would maintain a minimum buffer. But, you know, right now we're maintaining a 300-foot buffer. So, you know, we just had to put in more than the minimum, thinking we were just giving ourselves some leeway there. So, you know, we're not developers by any means. So we are receptive to what you have to say, but we thought we were and complying with what we thought was acceptable in that area, especially since we abut Pothole Road. You know, we're screening Pothole Road from us. So, do you have any other questions?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Mr. gentleman would say?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to say, I think this is a pretty simple application, and I'm sorry.
Anyone wishing to come forward, speaking for or against, please do so. Close the public hearing for this case.
I'm going to make a motion to approve.
All right. Second.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
We also need a vote.
Yeah, we need a vote on the black line.
Yes. A motion to waive the time limits.
Yes.
What is the time limit exactly?
I believe.
The changes.
Yes, it was submitted after the the Tuesday before.
Yeah, they were submitted yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We have a motion on that?
You made the first motion.
Second.
Did you make the first?
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. I made the first motion for the other approval. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. So we have a second?
Second.
All right. So it's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Our final case tonight is in District 4, RZ 2021-00008, application by Sam J. and Marl B. Habush, requesting a rezoning of 5.92 acres from Agricultural Limited A2 to Residential Limited R1, with proffered conditions at 199 Lindsay Lane on tax map 63102C. The comprehensive plan designates this area as rural enhancement.
Again, thank you, Ms. Parker. Tom Coleman, principal planner. As she indicated, this is a rezoning application of 5.9 acres from an agricultural zoning to an R1 residential zoning to create one new lot. This is located in the eastern part of the county. The subject property and all the abutting properties are zoned agriculturally. And the subject property and most of the surrounding properties are in a single family residential low density designation. That sort of brown there is a cemetery parcel adjacent to this, and that's why that has a different recommendation. Looking at the aerial photo, see that the surrounding properties really exhibit either undeveloped or a low density residential character. The next one. Looking at the exceptional plan that they provided, a couple things. They provided this. I added the highlights just, I think, to make it easier to see. The blue dashed line shows the current parcel, and the yellow shows the 2-acre cutout that they're going to provide. You'll notice on here, direct your attention to the screen, they're going to be coming off of Lindsay Lane, and Lindsay Lane would provide access to the existing house and to the new parcel, and it also provides access to a parcel over here. Clark Road is a little bit confusing. Clark Road comes up here, but they don't have access to Clark Road. So the access will be provided from Lindsay Lane. And I'll also point out there is a proffer that requires sort of a tree save area along the northeast boundary, so the tree save area would be along this boundary right here. Again, just a summary of the application. They own the 5.9 acre parcel that includes one dwelling. With approval of the application, they would subdivide it to create one new building lot. The existing building would reside on a 3.9 acre parcel, and the new parcel would be about 2 acres in size. And the applicant also has proffered to prohibit any future divisions. With this, the parent track, all the by right splits have been taken, so it does require rezoning from agricultural to a residential zoning to subdivide the property. The cash proffer policy does not apply to rezoning cases that only create one new lot, so the cash proffer policy does not apply to this application. There was a community meeting held in August. Commissioner Mr. Patuck attended, as long as three neighbors. There were some concerns expressed about leaving a buffer on Clark Road into an adjacent, into adjoining lots, so they did commit to providing that buffer, that tree safe area, to that adjoining lot, and the impacts on wells and drain fields. But no one expressed opposition to the application. They did submit proffers. Just the proffers, the first one does for require them to adhere to that exceptional plan. The second one commits to that buffer area that I mentioned earlier, a 20-foot wide tree save area, and the last one would prohibit any further subdivision of the property. And that concludes my presentation.
Is Lindsay Lane, is that, how many houses does that Lindsay Lane serve?
Three? It has, yeah, it's three, and it's a private road.
So it's a, I mean, it's a pretty, I know the road, it's a pretty narrow road, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Just a driveway.
You kind of see pretty on much. The aerial photo, it's pretty narrow.
I think it's gravel the entire way.
No, actually, I defer to the applicant, I don't know if it's.
Yeah, it's paved as you come in.
I just know it's narrow.
Any other questions? Thank you. Is the applicant here?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Andy Conlon here on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Habusher here as well. Regarding this application, they've lived on this property for over 25 years. Their son Joseph has recently been married. They'd like to cut out this lot in order to him build a home for he and his family. And so that's the request. As was noted, we've already had a community meeting. We've done the things that the folks have asked about, retaining that buffer to the next door neighbor and access off of Lindsay Lane and do the necessary improvements for that. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions and ask for your recommendation.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
We now open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward, please state your name and address. You have 3 minutes. Seeing none, we close the public hearing. Gentlemen.
I move that we recommend it for approval.
I'll second that.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you. There's no old business and no other business.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.